You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Treyasar podcast. We're picking up where we left off in Perek Gimel of the Book of Amos, and we're up to Pasuk Gimel. A bit of a refresher of what we talked about in the last podcast. In the first two Pasukim of Perek Gimel, Amos tries to rid the people of a very serious misconception, which is actually found in various ways throughout many of the books of Nevi'im. And that is the idea that Hashem will actually punish Am Yisrael for their wrongdoings. The misconception being, of course, that as the chosen people, they're sort of immune from punishment. They would get special treatment. And Amos explains to them, as do other Nevi'im, that it's actually the exact opposite. That because they are the chosen people, because they have this special status, more is expected of them. And therefore they will be very seriously punished. We see from those first two psukim that the people are not at all open to what the prophets have to say. The idea, for not only that they're doing anything wrong, but the very idea that the prophet would, say to them that Hashem wants to punish them was something which they are not willing to accept. As we continue in Perek Gimel, we'll see this more, and we'll see the way that the Navi addresses the various claims of the people through a very interesting way and a somewhat different style than we have seen up until now. From Pasuk Gimel until Pasuk Vav, Amos asks a series of questions. Wait, will two people walk together unless they have planned it ahead of time? Meaning, when you see two individuals walking together, imagine seeing two people clearly on a date walking down the street together, right? Will that have happened if it wasn't prearranged, right? If one of them hadn't called the other and said, hey, let's meet up and go out? Right? And the answer, of course, which he doesn't say, but which is obvious, is no. Hayishag arye bayar v'teref ein lo. Will a lion roar in the forest without having a prey? And this is based on a certain knowledge of these wild animals, right? And there are mefarshim who point out, don't forget that Amos was, among other things, a shepherd, and therefore he might have been familiar with the behavior of a lion which was about to pounce on its prey. So apparently, lions, when they have spotted a prey, when they're about to hunt the prey down, roar, right? This makes sense, fits in with what we think about lions. And again, we have a rhetorical question. Will a lion roar in the forest when it doesn't have a prey? Hayiten kfir kolo mi meonato bilti im lachad. Right, a parallel to the first half of the pasuk. Will a kfir being a young lion, give forth his voice? I guess another way of saying roar, if it hasn't trapped something. Right, so basically parallel to the first part of the pasuk. Pasuk hey hatipol. Tzipor al pach haaretz umokesh en la. Will a bird fall into a trap on the ground without there being some sort of trap there? Sorry about that interruption. In other words, if a bird is going to fall into a trap, then the mokesh, that thing, I guess, which snaps shut on them, right, had to be in place for them, right? One does not happen without the other. Haya'ale pach min ha'aretz v'lakod lo yilkod, right, from the perspective of the trap this time, right, will a trap, rise up from the ground if there isn't something inside for it to trap? Im yitaka shofar ba'ir va'am lo yecheradu. Where will a shofar be blown in the city and the people will not be afraid? Right. This is also a rhetorical question, but of a different sort of cause and effect. Here, something happens, which causes something else to happen. There's the voice of the shofar, right? In this case, not the shofar of, let's say, Rosh Hashanah, but the shofar, which was blown as they were going out into battle, or as somebody is about to attack them, right? And when they hear that, of course, the rhetorical question implies the people will be afraid. Im tihiyeh ra'a ba'ir v'adonai lo asa. Right? Will there be something bad that happens in the city and Hashem has not done it? Right? So here there's a rhetorical question, but, you know, of a different sort, not something that's necessarily obvious to the eye, but of a theological nature, right? But also cause and effect, according to the understanding of Amos, right? That the nothing bad will happen unless it has happened by Hashem, right? The cause and effect is there again. Hashem wants it to happen, and therefore the bad thing will happen, right? So we see that he asks this series of rhetorical questions. The answer, the unspoken, unnecessary answer of all these rhetorical questions, of course, being no, right? These things will not happen. A lion will not be roaring unless he has a prey. A bird will not be trapped unless the trap has come up to get him. The trap isn't going to close unless it has something inside, etc., etc. The question, of course, is what is the purpose of all of these rhetorical questions? In order to understand it, once again, you have to remember the audience that Amos is dealing with. Right? He is talking to his people, right, and trying to explain to them that bad things are going to come upon them if they don't accept that they have to change their ways and become better, right? And they're not willing to accept that. They're not willing to say that what the Navi says is correct. So one way that you can understand these questions is just basically trying to drum into their head this idea of cause and effect, right? Bad things are coming upon you, and they're coming for a reason, right? When something happens to you, as it will, the Navi is promising them, right? You have to understand that it's not random, that this is coming for a reason, because of what you are doing. Some of the Mefarshim, such as Rashi, in some cases, not throughout all of the questions, gives a very specific understanding of these different questions, seeing them in part as mashal and nimshal. So, for example, the one pasuk dalet hayishag arye bayar v'teref einlo. Rashi says hayishag, right? So his first explanation that he brings is, this is Nebuchadnezzar, right? Basically, what he's saying is that there's a lion roaring, right? Something bad is coming upon you, right? Would he be roaring if he doesn't have a prey, meaning you? You are going to be the prey of Nebuchadnezzar, Rashi is implying, understanding the words of Amos. You have to recognize that and act accordingly. What seems to be very clear is that the rhetorical questions that Amos is saying here are carefully chosen, right? Even if one isn't going to give a very specific nimshal to each question, right? None of the mafarshim, as far as I've seen, try to understand as some sort of parable each and every one of these questions, as Rashi did with Pasuk Dalet. But very clearly, the questions, I think, are meant to instill a certain fear in the people that he's speaking to, right? He's not saying things like, will you have a pot of soup if you haven't cut the vegetables and cooked them on the stove? Or will you have a clean basket of laundry if you haven't done the wash, right? No, he's not asking like random things like that. He's asking very specific things which are meant to instill in the people this feeling of being trapped, being caught, being punished, going to war, right? Clearly things that are supposed to give a sense of foreboding to the people, something which, of course, Amos is doing intentionally. He wants the people to understand that something bad is happening, and they have to realize that there is a reason that this is going to happen. The Dat Mikra commentary on Amos, which was written by a different Amos, Amos Chacham, gives a very clear step-by-step explanation as to what Amos is doing in this perek. Right? He says that each stage of the perek, the Navi is responding to a specific claim of the people. In the first two psukim, as we've already mentioned, the Navi is responding to the claim of the people, you know, Hashem isn't going to punish us, right? We, the chosen people, right? The ones who he took out of Egypt, right? He would never punish us. And in those two first two psukim, as I already mentioned, the Navi says, actually, Dafka Ken, right? He specifically will punish you because you are the chosen people. That's the first claim. The second claim that the people say, well, okay, fine. So let's say Hashem is going to punish us in theory, but there's nothing around us that indicates that that there's any sort of punishment. We don't see any sort of bad things happening. And to this, the Navi, according to Amos Chacham, responds with all of these rhetorical questions which we just looked at, right? Questions which imply cause and effect, that things happen because of other things. And the point of these rhetorical questions is to respond to this claim of the people, right? That there is no sign of the Poranut. And the Navi is saying here that there are signs, right? And the Navi'im, are telling you that there are signs. Now, it could be that you, the common folk, don't see them, right? But that's the job of the Navi. The Hanavi Amos is trying to say they understand the signs better than you do, or they're trying to teach you that these signs are significant, things that you may not realize are significant. And so while you may not realize it, there are signs of bad things to come. You just have to learn to recognize them. And people who don't recognize these signs or don't learn to recognize these signs, the commentary says, is like, you know, the prey who didn't hear the lion roaring, or is like the people in the city who didn't hear the shofar blowing. Right? You have to pay attention for the signs, even though sometimes the signs might not be quite as obvious as the lion roar or the shofar. The next claim of the people, right, has to do with their understanding of God. The claim is, okay, so let's say something bad is coming, right? So who's to say that it's not just, you know, by chance, right? That has nothing to do with our behavior. It's just, you know, a random occurrence. Bad things happen, right? And there's nothing you can do about it. And to that, the Navi responds, Ki lo ya'asa Adonai Elohim davar. Oh, sorry, wrong pasuk. Pasuk vav. Im tihiye ra'a ba'ir va'adonai lo asa. Right, so this isn't exactly a proof, right? The prophet hasn't really said anything that's going to necessarily convince them, but he's just stating his fact. Don't make that mistake, the Navi is saying. If something bad happens, it is because Hashem has sent it. The next claim of the people, right, ever in denial, is, okay, but who's to say that the Nevi'im are right, right? There are these doomsayers who are constantly getting on our case. Who's to say that what they are saying is right, right? And to that, the Navi responds, the next pasuk, which we haven't read yet, Ki lo ya'aseh Adonai Elohim davar ki im gala sodo el avadav ha-Nevi'im. That Hashem doesn't do things of this nature without first telling his Nevi'im, right? It's similar to what we see in Parshat Vayera, when Hashem is about to destroy Sodom, and he says, "Hamechaseh ani me'Avraham et asher ani oseh." Can I hide from Avraham that which I'm about to do? Right? This idea that before Hashem does something of this nature, he first sends a Navi, first tells the Navi, right? It doesn't happen without that occurring first. Either so that the Navi, could they go about doing the job of the Navi, meaning to try to get the people to repent, or so that simply the people will understand that it comes from Hashem, right? If something happens, well, then the people can claim what they want to claim, right? Oh, it happened stam, a random occurrence, nothing to do with God. But if he tells someone ahead of time, then there's kind of proof that this all comes from Hashem. And the final statement of the people, to which the Navi seems to be responding, is, well, you know what? We're still not interested in hearing from the Navi'im. And this is something that we've seen in other places in Amos, right? Where he says to the people, you tell the Navi'im not to prophesy. And to that, he responds with Pasuk Chet. Aryeh sha'ag mi lo yira. Right, if a lion roars, right, going back to the imagery of the lion, who will not be afraid? Adonai Elohim diber mi lo yinabe. Right, when Hashem speaks, the prophet is going to prophesy. Right, the Navi is going to do his job. Right, so don't tell the Navi'im not to prophesy, because the Navi can't do that. The Navi isn't going to do that. When you hear Hashem speak, you tell the world what you have heard. So this prophecy, these psukim in Perek Gimel are interesting in that it once again gives us, as Amos does in a number of places, sort of a window into the world that the Navi is dealing with, right? What sorts of questions were being asked? What his audience was like, shows us once again that the job of the Navi was a tough one, right? It wasn't so simple to give over the word of Hashem to the people. Another thing that you see in this psukim, which fits in with this general theme, is once again, as we've seen in other places, the prophet sort of almost tricking the people into hearing what he has to say. So he starts off this section with a bunch of questions, right? Sounds interesting, right? Not necessarily talking about the people. And then in the last few psukim, he makes it obvious what he's talking about and what his message is. For our next podcast, we will continue and finish Perek Gimel of the Book of Amos.